90.3 KMBA, it is Dinosaur Jr. from Without a Sound and Feel the Pain. Tommy Emmanuel with Amanda Shires covering Madonna back there with Borderline. We heard music from the Breeders. Well, it says the Breeders, but it's not. It's Kim Deal solo with Joanne. Tachycardia was Connor Oberst from Ruminations, and we start out with brand new music from the great Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings. Soul of a Woman, the posthumous release from Sharon Jones. It is 8:26, and thanks so much for tuning in to the Morning Line program for Thursday, or as we like to call it, of course, almost Friday. I'm Danny Preston.
And I'm Frank Chiflegan. We have this thing we call Our Community. It's an arts and events calendar with community voices. If you've got something for us, send us an email. feedback@knba.org is the place to send your nonprofit event sort of thing. Got a couple things on the list here to talk about, as well as we've got a guest that's waiting and waiting to just tell us what's going on. So Spinard Song Circle is a new listening series hosted by Emma Hill. The event features two guest songwriters each month. And, this month's artists are Ivan Knight and Quinn Hogberg. The event is Saturday the 24th from 7 to 9 at the Spinard Church of Love. West Anchorage Community Schools is hosting a forum for mayor and school board candidates on the 26th. That's Monday, 6 p.m. at Spinard Rec Center. For information, contact Turnagain Community Council member Kathy Gleason, and that's 248-0442. And of course, you've probably heard about the new way to vote for these different elections. There's voting by mail. It's possible now. You can vote early and get, it says that traditional polling locations are no longer an option for voting on election day. Does that sound accurate?
I'm not sure. I guess I'll find out on election day.
We'll find out. But it sounds like you can definitely vote by mail.
If I go up to the place I normally vote and there's a sign on it that just says gone fishing, I mean, I'm obviously going to do something else. Like go fishing.
That sounds like a plan. Let's do that. Well, anyhow, that's what we've got on the calendar. And April 3rd is Municipal Election Day, so
We'll
look forward to more information about that in the future.
Either go fishing or vote by mail, and just go to the polling place and find out. Heck, it'd give you something to do here. Hey, I also want to mention real quickly, just talk with a gentleman on the phone. Wanted me to pass along some information about something that sounds really cool, an exhibit or presentation at the Northway Mall called Artistry in Wood. There's folks demonstrating wood carving and all sorts of wood-related arts. And it's happening through, not this weekend, but all the way through next weekend, folks giving demonstrations and putting on displays from 10 to 6 at the Northway Mall. So it might be something kind of fun to check out.
I've got a riddle for you.
Me? For me?
Well, sure.
Okay.
Hey, what extinguishes all claims based on claims of Aboriginal right, title, or use, or occupancy, and or statute, or treaty, and is also 47 years old?
Wow. I don't know, Frank. What is whatever you said?
Why, the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act purports to do that. And I've got a guest in the studio who's going to tell us a little bit more about, an event that's celebrating this, as well as illuminating some of the ins and outs of it.
Okay, welcome. Thanks, Frank. And our guest is David Clark. David is a legislative assistant for the Alaska Native Village Corporation Association. And thanks so much for joining us this morning. Cool Rolling Stones t-shirt, by the way, mingled with the Alaska flag, so you're welcome on the show. So 1971, Richard M. Nixon signs the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act into law. 47 years, we've come a long way since then. Mm-hmm. And so what, now it's time to talk about it? The event happening tomorrow, talk about it.
So the event tomorrow is part two of a three-part INCSA panel series. The first one was entitled INCSA, The Good, The Bad, The Ugly. And it touched a lot of topics on the way the community perceives Alaska Native Corporations and the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act in its entirety. And so I think this next panel is going to be focused a lot on, the diversity of village corporations just kind of like really trying to touch upon the way that corporations do, in fact, serve the Native community, as well as diversify and grow and expand to become powerful contributors to the Alaskan economy.
And some pretty fascinating guest panelists are going to be there, all who are, experts in manifold fields. Mm-hmm. Who you got coming up?
So my boss, the executive director of ANVCA, Hallie Bissett, will be moderating the panel. On the panel will be Jean Brainig of Kevilco Corporation. She's also a member of UAA faculty. Nathan McCowan, who's the president and CEO of St. George Tenant Corporation, as well as the chairman of the board of ANVCA. And I believe there's one other individual.
It's going to be tomorrow.
Yes,
room
tomorrow.
Room 101 at Rasmussen Hall. And it's the second of three parts. So certainly an intriguing title for the first one, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Any takeaways from that have drawn attention in the community?
So one big takeaway was that it, in fact, opened quite a dialogue between INCSA officials as well as, you know, community members. I can remember one quote in specific that a youth panelist said. She said that we need to start investing in our youth and look at them as more than a dividend. And I think that really struck me because so many people look at Native corporations as sources of scholarships. And of course, we know that, you know, with the recent ANWR opening, there's been a lot of controversy surrounding Native corporations. And so I think a big takeaway was from this panel series was opening dialogue between the INCSA community and the broader community, dispelling myths, dispelling false claims, opening a dialogue to let the wider community know what they want out of, you know, their Native corporations as original and descendant shareholders.
And looking forward to the future and knowing that these young people mm-hmm. are the future, and that is so powerful. You mentioned dispelling myths, and I think it's interesting, this next panel that's coming up tomorrow. It is, look how huge Alaska is. I mean, superimpose it against a map of the United States. This is a land of rich and diverse cultures. But I think socially, we tend to lump, you know, the Native community all into this one bucket. Mm-hmm. And the diversity is something that we certainly celebrate. But I don't think that the general public I don't think that diversity is normally a sort of a top of mind, you know, cognitive mm-hmm. thing. So what sorts of diversity issues and what can we kind of expect that is going to be the subject for dialogue tomorrow?
You know, that's a very good question. I think tomorrow there might be some dialogue touching on the themes of legislative interaction. I know that ANVCA has been a strong advocate at the federal and state level for various legislative issues, not affecting only village corporations, but also regional corporations and villages alike. There might be some talk about foundations, the way that village corporations interact with regional corporations, how they diversify and build their portfolio, et cetera.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's a lot of potential as to what topics will be covered. There's a lot. There's a very broad, very, very broad topic.
Sounds like basically some discourse about the whole structural makeup of the different village corporations and regional corporations, how they all work together, and then in conjunction with the legislature too, which and you being a legislative assistant, obviously that's your forte, and you've got your finger on the pulse of what's happening there. Is there going to be anybody from the legislature involved that you know of tomorrow coming in?
I am not aware of any, no.
Okay. All right. So this is tomorrow, 7 p.m.,
mm-hmm.
Room 101 at Rasmussen Hall. And public's invited? Anybody? Or?
Yes, the public's invited. And part of what makes this INCSA panels very, very interesting is that it is not scripted. Right. So the moderator will be able to ask some questions, but when the dialogue opens up to the public, to the audience, there are no holds barred. So
it's not just talking heads. Anybody can participate.
No.
Okay.
Absolutely, anybody can participate, and that's part of what made the first one very well attended and very well meaning. Is it opened up meaningful dialogue between, you know, corporate officials and with, you know, the community? People have the chance to really share their concerns and. I think that's what people should come out for.
Okay, and then there's going to be, you mentioned it's the second of three
mm-hmm.
panel discussions that's
yes.
going to take place. Do you want to give us a sneak peek of the next one? What it's going to be about?
The next one is going to be on the topic of women in INCSA.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So we talk a lot about how men have formed AFN, how men have advocated in Washington, D.C. and on Capitol Hill for the creation and the passage of the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. But what's not very often talked about is the role that women play, the very strong and prominent role that women play, not only in the corporations, but also in the passage of the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. So that's a bit of a sneak peek.
And it's a great view, I think, this week especially, as you know, two decades before the passage of the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, was Elizabeth and Roy Paratovich making a lot of noise down in Juneau as we celebrate Elizabeth Paratovich Day just
absolutely.
A few days ago.
Absolutely. Even before the National Civil Rights Act was passed, the Alaska State Territory got civil rights were secured for Alaskan Natives. So I think that's very interesting. And it kind of touches on the important role that women play, you know, not only in, you know, INCSA, but in the broader Native community as well. So that's going to be the main theme of the next panel.
Yeah, like a full dozen years before the Civil Rights Act of 1964 was signed into law. So
absolutely.
So Alaska was ahead of the curve. Okay. It's 8:37. Our guest this morning is David Clark. David is a legislative assistant for the Alaska Native Village Corporation Association. And we're talking about a panel discussion meeting that's open to the public, and the public is welcome to actually participate in. That's happening at Rasmussen Hall, UAA Room 101, tomorrow at 7 p.m. with some great voices, including Hallie Bissett and Jean Breinig, some great folks. Anything else as we get set to wrap up, David, that you want to mention?
No, that's it. Thank you very much for having me.
Okay, thanks very much. And again, that's going to be happening tomorrow. And if you want to, if folks want to find out more about this particular panel discussion or about anything else about the ANCSA panel series, can they go online somewhere or call somebody?
I'm not aware of any resource right now, but yes, I do see one right here. You can go and look at alaskanativemedia.org.
Okay, very nice. David Clark, thanks so much for joining us today on Morning Line.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. 8:38, still to come, Fairport Convention, Chris Smither and more.
I'm Tara Gatewood, host of Native America Calling, and Therese Marie Millott is our February Book of the Month author. On our next program, we'll visit with her about her memoir, Heartberries, and why she decided to open up about her life that counters a romantic view on what it means to be Native. We hope you'll join us.